Well, today we're doing just a special message before we start the book of John next week. Sometimes we do some one-off messages, and we've done several of them called basic church questions. Because of the nature of our congregation, it's good sometimes to just look at some things that maybe we take for granted. We've looked at what is baptism. We've also looked at what is the Lord's Supper, what is a deacon, and we did that a few years ago, and then also what is the church. Well, today's topic is one that you're probably interested in a little bit, is can I lose my salvation? Can I lose my salvation, or can I shipwreck the faith? And I chose to do this because, as some of you are aware, it's been kind of a hot topic in the news lately. As a pretty reputable pastor from the USA, whose many of his books I have on my library shelf, and many people were quite shocked for very good reason. The first announcement was that he came out and divorced. He and his wife were both said that they were getting a divorce, and then he said, "I'm no longer a Christian." And so he completely said, you know, at this point, I'm not a Christian at all. And it's quite shocking. It's not the first time this has happened, of course. It's nothing new under the sun. He wasn't the first, and he won't be the last for sure. But it's definitely a wake-up call, and it gives us an opportunity to think through some hard questions. Most certainly has caused many people to ask, well, if a guy like that, I mean a solid pastor of a megachurch who wrote solid Christian books, which the content is still very true, if he could walk away from Jesus, then maybe I could. Or maybe it causes us to ask questions like, can that even happen? Can a person actually walk away from Jesus? Can a person lose their salvation? So I'd like to address this question today. I'd like to structure the sermon today in this kind of way, pretty simple, but I'd like to give you three facts from Scripture. And I have a lot of Bible verses, so if you got the sermon notes by digitally, you got a list of a lot of verses, but I will go over a lot of Scripture today because I don't have anything good to say, but Scripture has a lot of good things to say. Three facts I want to give you today are these. There will be some who seem to be born again, but do not have saving faith. There will be some in this world who seem to be born again but are actually truly not born again. Number two, all who are born again will persevere in the faith. All who are born again will persevere in the faith till the end. And number three, all who are born again are eternally secure in Christ. So some of those may seem like contradictions to you. Lastly, I want to give us some encouragement from the Scriptures. Let me pray and ask for help from the Holy Spirit, which I greatly need today. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you know that I have nothing good to say. I just want to echo what your word says. And so I pray that you will help me be clear and accurate and extremely helpful to our body, no matter where people may be or how they may be doing today. But that the church might be built up in her faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go pretty quickly. There will be some who seem to be born again, but do not have saving faith. Now, we do not want to look at people in the present. That's why I didn't even mention somebody's name or many people's names in our present world. That's really not my job, and that's not our job to be looking at people and go, I don't think they're born again, you know. I know I am, but I don't know about them. That's not our job. That's not our place. I simply want to point you to some people in Scripture who the Bible gives us different phrases, and we also might add varying degrees of people stumbling, struggling with their faith, and even some examples of people in the Bible who abandoned Christ altogether. Let me show you some of them. Number one, betrayal. Judas was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, and in the end, he betrayed Jesus with a kiss, and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Now, I might add to you that in the last night that Jesus had with his disciples, he had an opportunity and he said, hey, look, one of you is going to betray me. And nobody suspected Judas. They all looked around instead and said, is it I, Lord? And that's actually the question we want to ask ourselves today, is not, is it him or is it her, but more of looking at our own selves. Nobody suspected Judas. Nobody said, I bet it's that guy over there. We always knew it was him. Nobody even suspected it. So all the way through Jesus' ministry, there was really nothing about Judas that was causing a lot of people to alarm. I mean, we do know a few things, that he helped himself to the money bag, and they mentioned that. But Judas betrayed Jesus. Thomas doubted Jesus. When after Jesus had risen from the dead, he wasn't even there, and he said, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe at all. I'll tell you when I'll believe. I'll believe when I place my finger in that hole in his arm. Then I'll believe. He doubted. John chapter 20. It's on your screen there. What about denial? The great Peter, the rock, three times he denied that he even, I don't even know the man. Can you believe it? Probably most of us in this room have never even gotten to the point in our faith where we said, I don't even know the man. And there's good evidence that Peter had decided to be a fisherman again. Forget all this. I'm going back to fishing. He denied Jesus. What about desertion? There was a man named Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, which, by the way, in other passages of Scripture, he is a faithful minister of the gospel right there along with Paul. And in 2 Timothy, the last of Paul's writings, Paul says of Demas, he has deserted us in love with the present world. We don't know if Demas ever returned to the faith. Our passage today uses the phrase, fall away. Take care, brothers, unless there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart causing you to fall away. Okay? The reason that the passage is used, the word fall away, we'll see later, is because the opposite of falling away is to stand firm. The word apostasy means to not stand, so we want to stand. In Mark chapter 14, you know, when Jesus was arrested, when the military came and they were going to, grab Jesus and were going to take him away, what does it say about all the disciples? All the disciples fled. There's a guy named Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy chapter 1 who, they shipwrecked the faith, Paul said. And Paul said, I'm handing them over to Satan so that they would not learn to blaspheme. That's pretty strong words. We find this guy again. You probably never heard, has anybody ever heard of this guy, Hymenaeus, before? Not something we name our children these days. Hymenaeus and Philetus in 2 Timothy chapter 2. This says they swerved from the truth. They swerved from the truth. It says their teaching was like gangrene. In John chapter 6, many disciples at that point, it says, after Jesus said these things, many disciples turned back and they no longer followed him. 2 Timothy, again, a guy named Phygellus and Hermogenes, they turned away from the faith. And then Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, we know that in the book of Acts, he left Paul and Barnabas and went away for reasons, withdrew for reasons we don't even know. And it was such a big deal that Paul and Barnabas split and started going different ways in ministry. But guess what? Later on, Paul said, make sure you bring that guy Mark. He's very useful for the ministry. So you see, in the Bible, there are various people that we see who had faith or seemed to have faith and struggled and stumbled and came back and some left totally. It's nothing new. In the parable of the sower, Jesus told us this kind of thing would happen. Some seeds fell along the path, you remember? Some seeds fell among the path and they hear, but the word never takes root. Some seeds fall on rocky ground and there's this joy in their lives, excitement over Jesus. They endure for a while, but when tribulation or persecution comes, they, phrase is used, fall away. Some seeds fall among the thorns. You remember that? And it actually grows. There seems to be some growth happening there. But they never bear fruit like Demas because they're in love with the present world and money. There's no fruit. And then some seeds fall on the good soil and it bears fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. So from the very beginning of Jesus' preaching ministry, there have always been some who seem to love Christ. We know there were multitudes who followed Christ, and even those multitudes cried out on Palm Sunday, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And a week later, the multitudes were yelling, Crucify him! Crucify him! There will be some in this world who seem to be born again, but do not have saving faith. Number two, all who are born again will persevere in the faith, continue in the faith till the end of their life. We get our passage today from Hebrews. Very interesting wording in this passage. Take a look very carefully. First, it is take care. That's sometimes translated as beware. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hardened by sin. And then notice this interesting phrase, for we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our confidence firm to the end. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? So we have caution. We have making sure that you don't fall into sin. We have making sure that you're encouraging one another. And then we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our confidence firm to the end. Now, that phrase can actually be read the other way with that if. If indeed we hold our confidence firm to the end, we have come to share in Christ. Believers in Christ, those who are born again by the Spirit of God, who have the Holy Spirit, will persevere in the faith to the end by the grace of God. We'll see as well by the power of God. Let's look at a few other passages, just show you this, not just one place. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. 1 John 2, 19 says this, "They went out from us because," "they went out from us, but they were not of us." He's talking about these people who are against Christ. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us." It's very interesting. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. And then a long passage in Hebrews chapter 6, and a very difficult passage. Listen to what it says. I'm going to read it quickly. "For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift," tasted, "and have shared in the Holy Spirit in some way, have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop," there's this producing fruit, "useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles," remember the parable of the sower, "it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned." But listen to what he says. "Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness." Now, look, earnestness, "to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." There will be some who seem to be born again but do not have saving faith. But all who are born again will continue in the faith and will persevere in the faith. We give evidence that we have been born again by the Spirit of God by persevering in the faith. That's why the Scripture doesn't point us to the past, to what decision did you make at one time in your life. The Scripture points us to the present. Look at your life presently and examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. We'll look at that verse in a moment. Number three, all who are born again are eternally secure in Christ. All who are born again are eternally secure. So this doctrine is called the doctrine of eternal security. The doctrine of eternal security. Another way to say it is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Now, those have two different meanings. Perseverance is actually a moving and continuing in the faith. The doctrine of eternal security has caused some people to just say, "Oh, I'm eternally secure, so therefore I don't have to actually keep believing." But it's the same thing. John chapter 6, verse 37 through 40. How beautiful are these passages. Listen to what Jesus said. "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should I should lose nothing of all that. That I must have been getting tired right there. Sorry about that. That I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. As security, will never cast out. John chapter 10, probably the strongest verse in the Bible on eternal security. Hopefully I've spelled everything right. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Nor are they able to jump or pry his hand open. Philippians 1:6, you know some of these verses. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you notice those words there? This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, reserved. And by God's power, you are being guarded. Isn't that good news this morning? That God, by His power, is guarding you? That no matter how silly we might become, or no matter how much we stumble, that God, by His power, is guarding us through faith. 2 Timothy 1:12, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. The word again, guard. Ephesians chapter 1, 11-14, in him we have obtained an inheritance, seeing the same words, inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee. What's a guarantee? It's going to happen. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. I like to think of the verse in Hebrews where it says that we have an anchor that holds within the veil. I've said this before, but I picture a big steel. I go into Sai Kung sometimes and I see those big chains that they have for the boats. And I picture one of those big steel chains wrapped around me. And that steel chain has a big anchor on the end of it. And it's lodged in the Holy of Holies at the mercy seat of God. Wrapped around me. Secure in Christ. It's not a rope. And I can't break it. I think the Scripture is clear We ask the question, can I lose my salvation? The answer is no. There will be some who seem to be born again but do not have saving faith. Matthew 7:21, one of the verses Jesus used to change my life. It's not everyone who says unto me that, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. There will be many on that day who will say, Lord, didn't we, you know, do all of these things in your name? And he will say, I never knew you. So we know the scripture says this is true. Number two, all who are born again, though, will persevere in the faith because all who are born again are eternally secure in Christ. I hope that makes you feel really joyful today, knowing that if you've placed your trust in Christ, and you have the assurance today that today if you don't know Jesus in here and you give your life to Christ, that you will have eternal life in His name. But the application for us today is quite simple, and that is this: keep persevering in the faith. Keep persevering in the faith. Another way the Bible says that is stand firm. Isn't that odd? Those are synonyms in the Bible. Keep persevering, which is means movement, and yet stand firm is the opposite of moving. They both mean the same thing, though. Being rock solid in your faith, but continuing to believe in Christ. The scriptures give us some encouragement to do just that. I want to read some of them before we close. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Ephesians 6, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Colossians 1:21-23, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. That is the gospel. In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. You see that? It says continuing in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting. Stand firm, therefore, in the faith. And lastly, our verse of Scripture from today. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. But we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our confidence firm to the end. Dear brothers and sisters, my exhortation and encouragement to you today is to keep on persevering in the faith. And you know what that means? That means keep pursuing Christ. That's not the same thing as saying, keep attending church, or keep going to Bible study, but keep pursuing the person of Jesus Christ. You see, it's even easy to just have our quiet time and read the Bible and yet even be doing it, but really not growing and pursuing Christ and say, I want to behold you. I want to know you. Encouragement today is this: don't coast. Don't put your life on cruise control. Stand firm. You are eternally secure in Christ through and by the work that He accomplished for you on the cross. But keep giving evidence that you have been born again by persevering in the faith till the very end. Does that make sense? Keep persevering in the faith. And the Scripture says, let us encourage one another. You know what God's remedy is for falling away? God's remedy from falling into sin is one another. We need each other in our lives to continue to say, how you doing? Don't be doing that now. Get up, come to church on time, whatever it may be. We need to be in each other's life, stirring one another up to love and perseverance in the faith. Let's pray together. Almighty God, you know that my deepest hope in this world is that I will continue in the faith. That I will not fail to meet the test. Lord, I have no hope except that I believe that Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. I expect to swing out into eternity on those words. God, would you strengthen us? Strengthen us that we might not coast. We not put our spiritual life on autopilot, but we will work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God that works in us to will and act according to His good pleasure. So Lord, I pray that if my words have been confusing today, that you will bring clarity. If my words have been wrong today, that you will cause them to be forgotten and that your truth will remain. Lord, I pray most of all that your word would sink in and fall on good soil and produce fruit in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.